Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, happy Monday. It's Baseball Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. Ben Annis and Kevin Barker.
Hello, hello, hello.
On television. You guys have been on television now for a week.
Yeah.
So you're adjusting. You're ripping me because I put a little makeup on, okay? It's a big deal.
That's all. You put a lot, actually.
I didn't put a lot.
It's a little weird.
That's an exaggeration. Lots to get to today. We will preview the four-game series against the White Sox after the bottom of the clock with Bruce Levine, MLB reporter and analyst on WSCR AM and 670thescore.com. And we'll talk about Chris Sale. He's all kinds of good. Looking to move into a class of his own with his ninth straight game, double-digit strikeouts. It's a pretty tough task, though, facing a very good hitting Blue Jays team, and they hit lefties very well. But Chris Sale ain't no usual lefty.
Ain't no, huh?
No, he ain't. I've been in the studio with you for 4 minutes, and I'm already talking like you. But I have an American wife, though, so that's part of it as well. I like saying ain't and y'all. It's just easy. It's quaint as well.
It just makes you happy when you say it, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
All right.
So the Blue Jays have struggled, to say the least, starting pitching-wise. Well, all season long. They had a good stretch there for about a month, month and a half. The 11-game winning streak, they were pitching pretty well. The starters were at least giving them a chance. Mm. Last week, it has been a rough, rough go, with the only island being that Mark Burley start on Canada Day. He was great. Going 7-plus, the only quality start they've had since then. They've had starters get blown out and not get outs and give up 7 earned runs. They've had starters unable to go 5. They've had starters who have gone 5 but barely 5. It's getting to a dire situation. It kind of reminds me, Kev, of the beginning of the season because I guess a little more evident because they weren't winning games and they were so far under 500. They were encroaching on 10 games under 500 that people thought the season was a total write-off. It's a different feeling now where they're still over 500 and they are 2 games out of first place, 1 game out of a wild card. But we've been here with this team before. Really all season long. It was just that little month stretch there where they kept their pitching heads above water. But but other than that, starting pitching has been pretty brutal.
Well, I found it hard to believe that the pitching was that brutal. So when I was sitting at home this weekend, I thought I would do some stats and look at the Jays starters.
A little research. I like that.
A little research. Well, what I found out was they are pretty bad.
Okay. They have, case closed then.
They have 36 quality starts. Basically, that's what you look at when you're a starting pitcher and you're a rotation and you're a pitching coach and a manager. You look at what your starting five's giving you. Well, they played 84 games.
Mm-hmm.
They've had 36 quality starts.
Mm-hmm.
So what that says is in 40 road games, they've had 14 quality starts.
That's not good.
That's not good at all. At 44 home games, they've had 22 quality starts.
That's
so they've done a little bit better at home, which is a little bit weird where they play at the Rogers Center. You give up the ball flies. They give up more runs. A lot of that started because Mark Burley got off to a slow start. R.A. Dickey's had basically a tough season. You look at how did they change that? How do they mix it up and have more quality starts? Well, That's a question that's been, you know, I've heard you mention it earlier on the show, Jeff
Yes.
Blair show earlier. We've had this conversation with Jeff, me and him back and forth. You can go a couple of ways. You're either going out looking for a big time starter. To me, if you don't get a big time starter, you just don't go get anybody. It doesn't make any sense to go get a lesser guy when lesser's not going to help you any. You're already there. I mean, it's not like you, if you go out and get a leak from the Cincinnati Reds, why would you do that? Because you already have a leak. You have a couple of leaks here. Pardon the pun, but that's...
I thought you were trying to do that. You weren't
trying
to
really.
Do that?
Well, okay. Yeah, maybe a little. But it's point being is, unless you can go out and get a guy like a Cueto or a Sonny Gray or some guy that's going to come and bring your team to the whole different level, why go do it? That's the point.
So who's in that echelon of guys? Because there's Cueto. He's going to be the gold standard as far as teams in need of a starter. He's a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Jeff Samardzija, is he on that plane for you as one of the elite guys who would be an improvement?
I don't think so. He's right up there with like a Matt Latos. I heard you earlier when I was riding to work, talking
you
about
like
a
listening
Matt,
to me.
A Matt Latos. Well, I like getting information that I can disagree with.
Oh, okay.
That's
right.
You know, sometimes
Fuel.
you want to disagree with some things, and the Matt Latos thing doesn't make any sense to me. I looked his numbers up: 75 1/3 innings, he's given up 75 hits. Gives up a hit an inning, that's a lot of guys on base.
Yeah, but it's trending in the right direction, and he's been hurt, and he's come off the DL, and he's been much better. And yesterday specifically, I mean, seven innings, give up one hit.
His whip is in the 1.3 range, average is in the mid to low ones. That doesn't make any sense. You give up, you know, some walks, you give up the hit, and you give up the big home run. He's given up seven home runs. My point being is, you're going to have to go out and give up some prospects and give up some money. Why do it to guys like this? Just keep what you got. Use what you have in the minor league system. Make do. You're either going to go one way or the other. You know, you look at the Kansas City Royals. That's one of the things that people try to shorten games. Well, if you look at their stats, their starting pitchers pitch less innings than anybody in baseball. They're last in innings pitched by starters in baseball. But they have the best bullpen in baseball. So you try to shorten games that way. You could do that if you're a Blue Jays guy. You could go out and get a couple of big-time closer, maybe a Tyler Clippard, have an eighth and ninth inning guy. Look at it that way. You're shortening games because your weakness is your starting pitching.
It's tough when you need seven innings out of your bullpen, which is what this team has needed.
Well, not
a couple
really
of times.
Seven innings. That's a couple of starts. Yeah. You have Drew Hutchison on the road that can't pitch, and
that's what's the most frustrating thing about this team, right? With the offense that they've displayed all season long, the number of double digit offensive games that they've had, it seems like six runs is almost a given on any night for this team. You don't need the greatest starting pitching in the world. You just need serviceable starting pitching, and you mentioned it. Quality starts. I mean, a quality start is not great. That's an ERA of 4.5. But that's what this team needs. They need guys to go out there and give them ERAs of 4.5. Well, they can't even get that.
Well, their offense scores 5.5 runs a game on the road. That leads baseball. You figure if you're a starting pitcher and you go on the road, I hold them under 5 runs.
Yeah.
Most staff should be able to do that when you're in baseball. It's an alarming stats. These are alarming things that go on. It's an occurrence now. It's a reoccurring theme with the Blue Jays starting staff. And I'm just not sure there's a big-time fix for it because, you know, it's 1 through 5 besides Burley that's struggling. You throw out Burley.
Yeah.
And then you have four guys that are, you know, it's a question mark on every given day on what they're going to give you. If you're Alex Anthopoulos, how do you go out and get four starters? You can't do that. So you know, how do you go out? Is one guy enough? That's the point being. Do you go out and try to solidify the bullpen and get two guys in a bullpen to shorten the game like the Royals do? Do you do it that way? Those are big question marks. These are big decisions that Alex has to make. And it's, you know, you look at their – we always talk about how many runs they score. Well, if you don't go fix the pitching, do you want to waste the offense that they have and that they're going to have the rest of the season? Well, you have to think on the road. They're going to have to figure out some way to win on the road. What are they, 17-23 on the road? That's not very good. You have to somehow figure out ways to get that to at least .500 because they're a much better team at home. These are a lot of mouthfuls, and we talk about this all the time on how they're trying to figure out ways to win on the road. Basically, it gets down to they have to get quality starts on the road. And until they start doing that, we're going to keep seeing this, you know, these bad games, these 5 1/3, 5 innings, giving up 8-9 runs, giving up big innings. That's what destroys this team as a starting staff is the big inning. It's not the 4 or 5 innings. It's the one big inning where they give up 3 in the first, 5 in the fifth. It's that big inning that just kills this team. And until they figure out ways not to do that, they're going to struggle.
17-23 on the road. You were right. You pulled that off the top of your head. The Orioles also 17-23 on the road. In fact, everybody in the American League East has a losing record on the road, save for Tampa Bay Rays, who are 22-14.
That's because they have the best pitching staff in the American League, basically, starting staff.
I was going to say it's because they hate playing at home because that ballpark stinks and nobody shows up because they're 21-27 at home.
Right.
That might play into it as well.
I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. It's, again, it gets back to you're gonna go as far as your starting five take you. And right now the Blue Jays are, again, we throw out Burley. I was the one guy that when he started off struggling, he looked like he was getting a little old.
Yeah.
Older guys figure it out. That's why, you know, that been there and done, it's hard to teach. Mark Burley's obviously been there and done it struggling and been there and done it doing well. He knows how to equal the two out. And right now he's figured it out. It's just it's going to be a shame if something doesn't happen and they don't figure out ways to get more quality starts to help this offense win games.
I'm surprised that you would put Jeff Samardzija in that same category with Matt Latos and Mike Leake. So to me, you know, reading through the tea leaves here with what you're trying to say, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the only two guys that you think are worth going out and getting if you're Alex Anthopoulos are Johnny Cueto and Cole Hamels.
Well, you're going to have to give up prospects to get Samardzija. Are you willing to give up that's your question. If you're Alex, you have to ask yourself, is Samardzija worth giving up your top prospect? Because it's going to cost you a prospect and some money. Is it worth it? Is it worth giving up a Daniel Norris for Samardzija right now? To me, it's no. That's my point is, if you're going to go out and give up future for right now, it has to be that guy that come in and just every 5 days, you know, it's over. You're going to win that game. Figure out how to win the other four games.
Cole Hamels might be that guy, and he's locked up, right? These other guys we're talking about, Cueto, Samardzija, mm-hmm. Kazmir, Latos even, they're all free agents at the end of the year. Cole Hamels is not. He's locked up in pretty good contract. That's a guy, though.
73 more million bucks, I think. It's going to cost you more prospects, I think.
Absolutely.
That's the point. The Phillies are asking crazy things for Cole Hamels. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's going to be real tough to give up three or four guys for Cole Hamels.
Well, is it worth it, though? I mean, it doesn't seem like you have that top-of-the-rotation guy, and who knows, Marcus Stroman might eventually be that guy, and who knows, maybe Jeff Hoffman's that guy, and who knows, mm-hmm. maybe Aaron Sanchez is that guy, or Daniel right. Norris. But Cole Hamels he's already that guy.
Well, I think we can say that Aaron Sanchez, you just mentioned him, is not a bullpen guy anymore.
You flip-flopped?
Well, look at the way they I've been the first guy from day one that says he's better for the Blue Jays in the bullpen because he solidifies one spot and that spot's going to be taken care of. You know that because it's 97 with 10-inch sink, and it's very hard to hit one time through, and he's going to dominate that position. But the way the starting five's done, you can't move him now. I mean, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, there's no way you move him to the pen because he comes back, he's going to give you that power arm that keeps it in the yard and gives your team a chance to win and maybe gives you some more quality starts, and it's just going to be real tough to move him.
If that is the case, Ben Anish, Kevin Barker, Baseball Central at noon, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. If that is the case, and Aaron Sanchez is moved into the rotation, and you add an outside arm to that five-man rotation, that means somebody's coming out. If mm-hmm. you had to lift somebody from this rotation right now, there's some I don't know if there are obvious candidates. There's a bunch of guys underperforming. Drew Hutchison hasn't been great.
He's been a disappointment. You can say that. He's been a very big disappointment. Drew Hutchison's the one guy, I think, when we started the season, at least me and Jeff said that he's the one guy that needs to step up and take the ace role to a different level and take the team because it's here for him. He needs to come and solidify the role, go out and give this team a chance to win. He hasn't done that. The splits between the road and home, last year it was reversed.
Yeah,
and he had trouble
weird.
At home. And it's a very weird thing. I mean, you're giving up seven more. Your earned run is almost seven runs different from the road and home. That's just – you can understand it if it was a couple of runs. But seven runs, there's just not any way to explain that with the kind of stuff he's got, the slider, the changeup, the fastball that he pitches up. He's the one guy that can pitch up with a fastball because of the late life at the end of his fastball. It's been a disappointment, and you know it's. I think until he figures it out, I'm not sure you can go out and get enough pieces to help this team take it to the next level because you're going to have to get more than one piece. And do you have enough stuff in the minor leagues and enough money to add two pieces to your starting rotation or two pieces to the back end of your bullpen so you can shorten games? I'm just not real sure you have all these pieces here.
We don't know for sure, but it looks like Felix DuBront will start tomorrow in Chicago against the White Sox. Looked not too bad coming out of the bullpen in his first appearance for the Blue Jays. He's no stranger to the American League East.
Mm-hmm.
Had some reasonable success with the Boston Red Sox. He's a lefty, throws mid-90s, but he was just an average-type guy. Is he any savior for this team if you throw him in, into the rotation? How much faith do you have in Felix DuBront at least being able to stabilize? Just every 5 days, just give you five, six innings, giving up three or four runs. We keep saying it. Like, they're not, although it would be nice to have a Johnny Cueto, they don't need a Johnny Cueto on most nights. They just need guys to give them respectable starts. Is Felix DuBront that guy?
Well, I think it's going to be tough. I like you said, I think they have to figure out ways when to use him. You have to figure out, is he a better pitcher on the road? Is he a better pitcher in certain parks? I really think that Pete Walker and John Gibbons have to sort of finagle this starting five to get him to pitch better. If like Drew Hutchison keeps doing what he does on the road, you don't put him on the road. If it's coming to that and you're not going out and get better pieces, you have to figure out ways to use them where they can help your team, keep your team in the game to give this offense a chance to win. Is the people you just mentioned going to help this team? I think they're fill-ins. It's like a Marco Estrada. He's a fill-in. Are you counting on him to help your team take that starting five to a whole different level? I don't think so. I just think they're fill-ins because they have to be there. It's, you know, when people have to be there, it's never a good situation. And I don't think this is going to be any different. It may be a nice piece for a couple of times around because people haven't seen him. And you know, it's like Marco Estrada. It's, you know, you just hope he can keep throwing strikes. What did he go, 5 1/3 innings last time, or 5 2/3? Or 5 innings, I think, his last start. You need guys to go deeper. And when you don't have the stuff to do this, stuff gets you deeper in games. Marco Estrada doesn't have the stuff, so he has to be finer. When you're finer and you're aiming and you're trying to hit corners, you throw more pitches, you don't go deeper in games, and you see what's happening.
Does it speak volumes to you? Because I think it sends a message to me that Daniel Norris was not called up. He's not in the mix this time around to make that start tomorrow. Maybe he is. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on whether they need another mop-up man tonight against Chris Sale with Mark Burley on the mound. But that Alex Anthopoulos went to see Daniel Norris's last start in AAA. He only struck out one. Mm-hmm. It wasn't overwhelming. In fact, he hasn't been overwhelming at all. His second tour of duty in AAA, his first this year after being sent down by the Blue Jays, after really dominating the minor leagues at all levels last year with the strikeouts, that hasn't been there. He knew that that was a big start for him in the minor leagues because Alex was there, and if it was, you know, blow the doors off, he might have been with this team right now and ready to start for the Blue Jays tomorrow. Does it speak volumes that he didn't come through and he's not on this team right now?
It does, I think. Well, you know, the way the pitching staff is, we just mentioned all the numbers and the struggles they're having going deeper in games. If Daniel Norris was good, Daniel Norris would be here. You know, you can sugarcoat it and say it any way you want to, whether it's, you know, between his ears, the problems he has between starts, whether it's dead arm, you know, it was dead arm when he was here. Whatever the case may be, right now he's not good enough to be in the big leagues, because if he was, the way the Blue Jays need pitching, he would be here. And, you hope for Daniel Norris's sake that he cleans this up and gets it going in the right direction, because that's all Alex is looking for. Quality starts, getting it in the right direction in the minor leagues so they can call him up. They want to call Daniel Norris up. They want to come within so Alex doesn't have to go out and spend and give pieces. They would love it if Daniel Norris would come here and dominate his starts. But right now, they don't feel like he can do that. So that's another issue. And you're thinking, too, that when they go to try, if they're trying to trade Daniel Norris, other teams are noticing the same thing you just mentioned. They're noticing that, you know, he doesn't look the same as he did last year. He's not throwing as hard. The breaking ball is not as crisp. His changeup is not what he was last year. Other teams are looking at it just like, you know, we do when we talk about it. Alex is looking at it. So that's another issue in itself, I think.
Yeah, the bloom is probably off the rose a little bit with Daniel Norris, no question about it. I am surprised that you're flip-flopping on Aaron Sanchez a bit. I guess it's just that the fact that they need starters, and he can provide that for you, but you'd be happy with the bullpen the way it's set up right now with Roberto Osuna as the closer and Steve Delabar, Brett Cecil, and the crew behind him, and moving Sanchez back into the rotation. The other problem as well with moving Sanchez back there, and talked a number of times about it, is that it takes a little longer for him to return to this team if he's being stretched out as a starter, where, as if he's a reliever, maybe you need 1-2 outings in the minor leagues before you call him back up. It's And we're already here. We're in July here. Yeah. Like, there's no messing around.
That's a great. Those are great points. I think these are big issues for Alex to Anthopoulos to figure out, because as bad as your starting five has been, again, we throw out Mark Burley because Mark Burley has been the most consistent guy. The other four, the way they've been pitching, it's very hard not to put Aaron Sanchez back as a starter just because of that reason. Because with the offense you had, you got to figure you're going to be in the East at least until September and into September. So it's, you know, it's, these are decisions that have to be made, but I think something has to happen. Something, you're either going to go one way or the other. You're going to make that decision and stick with that thing. It's not going to be, oh, we're going to put him in, we're going to put him in the back of the bullpen. We're going to give him however many, times out of the bullpen, and then we're going to put him back as a starter. No, you're either going to be one or the other. Let him take the reins and run with it. So, you know, these are things you don't envy. This is a tough decision because he's young, he's up and coming, he's got great stuff off the charts, fastball, slider. He's added the sinker, obviously the power sinker, but he's added a little bit of a cutter, the changeup. So it's going to be, and I have not flip flopped. I just think it's.
No,
again,
you haven't flip-flopped.
It gets back to what they need right now.
All right,
I think Aaron Sanchez is the closer. I think he'd be a great closer just because he can throw one pitch. He doesn't have to worry about throwing slider changeup. But the way the problems that starting five has is it's going to be real tough for Alex to move him out of the starting five. That's all I'm saying.
Until next week when you flip-flop back and you want him back in the bullpen.
Well, unless they go out and get a Johnny Cueto, then I will say – you'll put Aaron Sanchez back to as a closer.
Back and forth we go.
Well,
yeah, who knows?
That's why I do this, and I'm not the GM. You know,
that's true, because that'd be way more difficult. Believe me. Baseball Central, Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360. Got to give a shout out to Josh Donaldson. All those votes, a Major League Baseball All Star Game record, the number of votes. And Kevin, I mean, you've been in this country for a while now. Mm-hmm. It is pretty incredible, and I wonder
it's pretty
if
it, cool, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah,
yeah, it's cool.
It has its moments. But the number of people that are in this country, and with there only being one team in this country, it's 30 million plus people, a sample size that you can pull from to support players in this country. Now, I wonder if people south of the border realize that. Like, even New York, what's the greater New York area? Maybe, what, 10, 15 million people or something like that? 30 million people. And they were all voting for Josh Donaldson, apparently. I wonder if Americans know that.
Hey, Josh Donaldson, let's clear this up right now. Okay. He's probably the best third baseman in baseball. Everything he brings, clubhouse, on the field, everything he does for younger guys to show them how to prepare for games, how to play every day, diving into stands. It's not like you're voting for a bad third baseman, you know? So it's, you know, Josh Donaldson does bring the element of everything. And you know, he deserves everything he gets. He's one of those players that he's a remote stopper. Everybody wants to watch him play. Everybody wants to watch him play defense. And there's a handful of those guys in the big leagues that you want to do that to.
Bryce Harper, Mike Trout.
There you go. So he deserves everything he gets. And it's great to see Canada understanding that. And everybody else in the United States, I'm sure, that's starting to get it, that Josh Donaldson is one of the, if not the best third baseman in baseball.
Don Cherry, shout out to him as well. Big part of, I imagine, why Josh Donaldson is going to start at third base for the American League All-Stars. Also, speaking of All-Stars, near All-Stars, and I don't know if you realize this, Justin Smoke beat out Albert Pujols at first base in American League All-Star voting.
That's awesome.
He finished fourth. He's played sparingly, a little bit more recently, but I've been advocating for a little more playing time for him in recent weeks. He's going to, I imagine, get back to starting against righties as Chris Colabello's come off a little bit to where he was offensively. But there's a discussion taking place as to whether maybe you give Justin Smoke an extended look against lefties as well, an everyday type of look. And I know he's had that previously in his career. He was a highly touted prospect, and people expected him to be Mark Teixeira when he was called up to the big leagues. Can't-miss prospect. Mm-hmm. Didn't really turn into that. The splits aren't super dramatic, but he's had some years where he has really struggled against lefties. Do you buy into that at all? Do you think there's a possibility, or do you think it's intriguing, at least, giving Justin Smoke an everyday look offensively?
I don't think so. I think it would be very nice for John Gibbons to say, yes, I'd like to play for have him play first just because of the way he plays defense.
Yeah.
And it gets back to the starting pitching. The more defense you have, it's obviously going to help your starting pitching. And you know, because you have greater defense. But I think when you start, it shows weaknesses. You know, guys start to figure you out. He's coming off the bench. He's a dead red guy. He hunts fastball. When you start every day, you have to start hitting sliders, yeah, change ups, and guys start to figure you out. And that's never a good thing. So I think this is a good position for him. And again, you have Edwin playing every day at first base. You have Deonner Navarro is going to DH. It's just right now in the cards for the Blue Jays, Justin Smoak's not an everyday player. Now, on other teams, he may be. But for this team, he's not. And he. My point is, why change that? He's, again, he's one of the best first basemen on a defensive side of baseball. And he adds an element of power both sides of the plate. That's a great bench guy to have to call on late in games and play some great defense.
And he has done a pretty good job coming off the bench and pinch hitting roles for this team and hitting home runs from both sides of the plate on Canada Day. Before we move on, and we'll talk about the White Sox next segment as we're going to be joined by Bruce Levine. Talk about the Tigers for just a couple minutes here as the Blue Jays do escape with the one win out of three at Comerica Park over the weekend. Justin Verlander, I was talking to John Morosi earlier at 9 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan about it, and those long-term big money contracts to starting pitchers, how few of them actually work out past 1 or 2 years. It just seems that whoever you give it to, whether it's Tim Lincecum, whether it's Barry Zito, whether it's Justin Verlander, as good as Verlander was in 2011, who wouldn't have signed up to give Justin Verlander every last dollar you had in 2011 when he was as dominant as he was? And guy gave up the most earned runs in the American League last year and looks like he's just never going to be the same guy. And he's throwing 95. It's not like he's totally lost the velocity.
It's not 99. It used to be 99 to 101 or whatever. And when he got in trouble, that's what he went to. And everybody knew it at the plate that this is what he's throwing, and he still threw it by people. That's the difference. I just think when you don't have the power arm anymore, 95 is good, but it's not 100.
No,
you know, there's a difference. That 5 miles an hour is different, and now he has to throw more breaking balls, and they don't have that snap because of that extra 5 miles an hour. You see what happens. Guys in the big leagues can hit the fastball, you know, and everybody says, well, 95's power. Yeah, it is, but 95 that's straight is a little bit different than 95 with some sink or some cut to it, and when you can rear back and let it eat at 99 to 100, That's very nice to have. He doesn't have that anymore, and that's why you see him giving up the breaking ball home runs. That's why you see Justin Smoak getting on top of the fastball at 95, hitting it out, because now they can go up looking for it. They can eliminate a breaking ball or whatever because he can't throw the fastball by him anymore, and I'm sure it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating for a guy that dominated a league and now doesn't do that anymore. It's a humbling game, and, you know, I think it's jumped up and bit Verlander a little bit, and you know, it's I think for baseball, it's going to be really nice if he can get back to that. Do I see that happening? Probably not.
He still goes home to Kate Upton, though. So, I mean, you can't feel too bad.
Yeah, and the $200 million doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, that's okay. So when we come back, Chris Sale starts tonight for the White Sox. He's pretty good. He is so skinny. I can't get over how skinny he is. To generate that velocity out of that left arm, he can't be 150 pounds. It's incredible to watch, and we will be watching him tonight on Sportsnet pregame starting at 7:30 on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll talk about the White Sox and what they do, because they're sellers. I know they're still single digits away from a playoff spot, but so many teams to pass, and what's gone wrong for them? We'll talk to Bruce Levine, MLB reporter for the White Sox, coming up next. Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker. It's Baseball Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central at noon. Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360. The Blue Jays opening up a four-game set against the Southsiders tonight. Pre-game starting at 7:30 on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Mark Burley who's going to get a nice ovation by the White Sox faithful, and why not? Might be his last appearance at the Cell. And it's a battle of lefties. Chris Sale. Oh, he's pretty good. Very thin. I'm envious of how thin he is. Really? and how fast he throws a baseball. Aren't you?
Not him. No.
Okay.
I don't want to be 150
pounds. You have positive self-body image issues, so that's good.
I've reached it. That's just, you know, it is what it is.
Okay.
I think that's more of it. Good. I think this game's going to be super fast, though. These two guys throwing, make those dinner reservations early tonight.
But it could be scoreless into the 17th inning or something. Who knows?
I will know this. I don't think Chris Sale's going to go 17 innings.
Yeah, no, he won't. Not likely. Bruce Levine joins us now, MLB reporter and an analyst for WSCR AM and 670thescore.com. Bruce, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it. And so much has gone wrong for the White Sox after a big offseason, but one of those things that's gone oh so right, and expectedly so, Mr. Sale, he's been incredible. It must just be a joy to watch him every 5 days.
Well, it's phenomenal to watch him. You know, you see this 26-year-old young man who's basically in his third full season as a starting pitcher, and he's the most dominant pitcher in baseball on the side of Max Scherzer, and I think a little bit more dominant, going for a major league record 10 strikeouts plus 9 games in a row. More importantly, you know, it's just difficult for hitters to actually see the ball coming out because there's so many angles. You have a guy that's 6'5", and that's all arms and legs, and his motion changes, and he throws 4 or 5 different pitches late in the game, going into the 7th, 8th inning. He starts going from 93, 94 up to 97 sometimes when he wants to. So this is almost an impossible guy to hit at this point. He's got to make a mistake. He won't make a mistake. You know, 1 or 2 of your guys will hit probably solo home runs. But the under over would probably be about 13 or 14 on strikeouts tonight, I would say.
Bruce, is there any chance that you see Jeff Samardzija being moved soon?
I don't know about soon, but I would say the White Sox just came off of a streak where they won the last 8 out of 12. It's the best streak going back to April. The ownership and the management hasn't given up on the team yet, but they have until next Sunday to show that they can chop off a few more games and get back into a wild card hunt. If there are 2 or 3 games behind the wild cards going into next the All-Star break, I would say there's a chance they hold on. So if not, you know, Samardzija will be the first guy to be moved. And your team is the one that's mentioned the most. Your scouting director and some of their other top scouts have been here watching Samardzija and him on the road the last 2 or 3 times. If you remember last year this time, right before he was traded on the 4th of July, you know, Toronto was mentioned as a suitor, and I think they still are. Other teams to watch are probably 6 or 7, including the Houston Astros, Boston Red Sox, and this latest surge would certainly want to attempt to juice it up. I would say every team in the American League East, considering all of them are wrapped around, you know, 5 games right now, would be suitors for Samardzija.
Yeah, and Samardzija's having a meh season so far. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. ERA of 4.33, and the 126 hits he's allowed actually lead the American League, but he's also faced more batters than anybody, 491 batters faced. But, you know, just the eyeball test here, Bruce, is Jeff Samardzija the type of guy that can step right in and be a team's number one?
I don't know about number one. I would say, you know, he's definitely a guy that can win 6 to 8 games for you from August 1st on. He's pitched his best baseball the last 4 outings, where he's gone 7-plus. The Sox blew a game for him, you know, 3 times in that occasion. The other day, you know, with a 2-run lead coming out, 2 outs in the 8th inning, and first relief ring gets up to 2-run homer. So he's been much better than he was earlier in the year. He now has command of his slider, and he's throwing his splitter more, and that's a difference maker. Wasn't changing the eye level of any of the hitters early on, and they were taking advantage of the fastball. Now that they're not able to sit on it because of the slider and the splitter being effective.
Bruce, whenever you think of a Robin Ventura team, you don't think of a bad defensive team. Going into Sunday, the last time I checked, they were 27th in baseball and fielding percentage. Sounds to me like they're having a real tough time. I think they had 50 or 47 errors, I think. That to me is astonishing just by Robin Ventura, that what he brings being a third baseman. You think defense first, pitching, and then offense. But what's going on with the White Sox on that side of the ball?
Well, they have below average fielders. Adam Eaton and Javi Garcia have a chance to be good outfielders. They're not there yet in center and right. Ramirez, who was a superior shortstop last year, should have won a gold glove, won a silver slugger. He's just gone totally in the tank this year.
Yeah.
Disappeared. And second base is pretty good now that they have this kid Sanchez, as they call it, but he can't hit. Basically, all the way around, essentially, they have below-average defenders. Milky in left field, he's okay. He's average, but not above that. So that's where they're at. Third base, shortstop, catcher, Abreu's okay at first base, but nobody even slightly above average, and most of them below average. So that's what you got. You got a team that was supposed to hit home runs and score a lot of runs, and they haven't done it. Normally, when you see a bad defensive team, you might have a team full of home run hitters that are kind of making up for it, and the defense doesn't stand out quite as much. You make two errors and you win 7-5. Nobody says anything. The White Sox are like a National League team right now. They just can't score runs. They're at the bottom in RBIs, home runs, runs scored. I mean, even below National League teams, which is almost impossible when you have a designated hitter and the National League doesn't. So they have underperformed dramatically, played their best baseball recently, but still can't score a run. And it's been a hard watch for the Chicago White Sox fans.
Talking to Bruce Levine, Chicago White Sox reporters, the Blue Jays starting a four-game set in Chicago today. You mentioned the trouble scoring runs there, 271, the fewest in all of the American League. And there were some big additions in the offseason, Bruce. I mean, they added Melky, you mentioned him, and Adam LaRoche. And on the pitching side of things, we mentioned Jeff Samardzija, David Robertson. Things have gone really pear-shaped here because, as you mentioned, I mean, they're probably a couple of days away from being legitimate sellers, if not already being sellers. Are there some hard questions being asked of Kenny Williams? Because we know there is the connection to the Toronto Blue Jays in that he was in the discussion, at least here, about maybe becoming the next president of the Toronto Blue Jays. What's the feeling about Kenny Williams there in Chicago?
Well, you know, Kenny's always been a stand-up guy, and he's one of those guys that wears his heart on his sleeve. You always know where you stand with him. Very emotional, very smart guy. And he's helped keep the Chicago White Sox competitive when they've had a bad farm system over the last 10 or 12 years. They've been able to produce pitchers, but not any position players for about 15 years. So he's been able to do it through free agency, the international departments, as well as astute trading. He's a really bright guy, and I think he'll make somebody a great president. But, yeah, the management's under fire here, no doubt. I mean, they went out and they spent an extra $20 million, $25 million on their payroll this year. It just hasn't worked out. So, as the media here, we've been on him for answers, and they choose not to tell us anything that they're planning on doing. But I know from my investigative work that they are still open to competing and maybe even adding on a player if they feel over this next week. And again, by next Sunday, before the All-Star break, they continue to play real good baseball and get close on the wild card, they're going to hold on. Otherwise, Samardzija will be the first one out. And someone maybe in the American League East or in the American League West is going to end up with Jeff Samardzija.
If the White Sox aren't out of it, Bruce, I don't know who is out of it because the A's are dead last in the American League. They're only one game back of the White Sox. I know Chicago's just 5.5 back of that second wild card, but -80 in run differential just seems like this team is not going to have the horses.
Yeah, they're going to have to have the historical run and win 50 games in the second half.
Yeah.
The only thing on their side, in their division, they have the best starting pitching, and Cleveland is right there with them. Them coming from behind, both teams about the same record, although seems absurd, is possible if the offenses pick up, because those are the two best rotations in the division, and by far. And you're going to see the attrition in the second half like you always do. And these two teams might be having the best outings where they're starting. As to whether the other parts of their team show up and get the job done, that's another question. And that's what they have to answer here in the next week or 10 days as the training deadline gets hot.
Should be fun to watch tonight, pregame 7:30, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, Mark Burley is my favorite person baseball-wise I've ever covered.
You've never met us, but okay, yeah.
I'm sorry?
You've never met us, but yes, outside of us,
no,
he's your favorite
baseball player-wise. Okay. I mean, he's just a sensational person and a great teammate, one of the greatest teammates I've ever seen. And I think it's just phenomenal to continue to watch him compete, 15 years down the line with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball. It's something that everyone else should pay attention to when you watch Mark Burley.
Yeah, and he is efficient with his time. Bruce, mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for this. Enjoy the game tonight.
Take care.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks.
Bruce Levine, MLB reporter, analyst for WSCR AM and 670thescore.com. He's right. I mean, Mark Burley's spectacular to watch. Mm-hmm. And from all indications, good dude. I always get kind of iffy saying that because I don't really know him that
right.
well. But from what we gather, a good guy. And he's no question going to get an ovation. That World Series team, the White Sox team that won in 2005, mm-hmm. where I think, what do they have, three straight complete games in the World Series? It was an incredible team to watch, and Mark Burley, one of the all-time greats for the White Sox. I don't know if I've ever asked you, do you think he's a Hall of Famer, Mark Burley?
I think so. I just, of course. I think what he's done, it's how many guys do that? How many guys stick around and you can count on every 5 days? That has to say something.
Yeah.
It has to say something every 5 days when you're called upon to pitch. You pitch. It doesn't
never
happen.
Never been on the DL.
It doesn't happen anymore. Or
Miguel Cabrera
happened.
Had never been on the DL until this week as well.
So, yeah, how is he not a Hall of Famer?
Well, the numbers aren't exactly jump off the page. He didn't strike anybody else.
Certain guys you may not look so much as numbers as of you do when you do that and how you've been there and as much as you've pitched. I mean, he's never been hurt. He's never been on the DL like you just mentioned. That's in itself unbelievable.
Yeah, especially in the age of pitching we've got right now, it seems like everybody's
I'm
banged
sure
up.
The way he pitches at 83, I'm not sure, Bruce, the 88, I've not really ever seen Mark Burley throw at 88. But it's more of that 83 to 84 kind of thing and breaking bats. But, it's what works. And I think that's what is so impressive about Mark Burley is I'm sure if he reared back and could throw, I'm sure he could throw 87, 88 and sit at it at for three or four innings.
Yeah.
But his thinking is, why do that when I can sit at 83 and 84 and get guys out and go six or seven innings?
Yeah, and maybe that reduces the risk of injury.
So that's why I say, to me, yes, he is a Hall of Famer and a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Whoa!
I'm going to say it right now.
Well, I tell you for sure, it's not going to be a first ballot
why
Hall of
not?
Famer. Because he was never the most dominant starting pitcher, never in the top five
Again,
in
I
baseball.
Again, I say some people, you don't look at things like that. You look at more of what we just mentioned. Guys that never done it before.
I don't necessarily disagree with you because I kind of think he is.
I'll say this. Will we ever see another Mark Burley?
I
probably
don't know.
Not. I'm going to say probably not.
Okay, we'll go with that. Probably not.
So
probably
there you go.
Not. Jamie Moyer was kind of that way too, and he hung on until he was about 50 years old. I want to see Mark Burley do the same,
yeah.
But I don't think it is likely to happen because apparently he wants to.
It's a cool argument, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely a cool argument.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark Burley's only thrown 88 if he's had like 75 Red Bulls or the amount of coffee that you've had today.
10-4.
Thanks, Kev. Blue Jays and White Sox tonight, 7:30, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Sportsnet will be back tomorrow. I'll be in for Jeff Blair once again, 9 a.m., Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And another edition of Baseball Central at noon, myself and Kevin Barker. You can follow me on Twitter, @BennisSNet. Have a spectacular Monday. We'll see you later.